This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
And somewhere in the move, she lost her favorite stuffed animals. And these were the exact two stuffed animals that she had lost. She was amazed that we had them and they were together. And she wanted us to ship them to where they were going for Christmas. And she actually paid for like expedited shipping so they'd get there in time. And just for a little added extra bonus, I printed out a letter on Santa stationery and I signed it to her. I said, hey, we found these at the North Pole. Glad we can give them back to you. Have Merry Christmas. And I, you know, signed it from Santa Claus and sent it off.
And from eBay's trust team, Cindy Acknon talks with Griff about return strategies for the holidays.
To be competitive, you have to offer a return policy. And 80% of our shoppers expect some type of return policy, especially free returns. And that will generate repeat customers. 89% of them who have a good return experience are likely to come back again.
eBay Vice President Sam Bright has an announcement about eBay's jargon jar.
So we created a list of the 100 most overused holiday words, then turned to Twitter to spot when big brands are going over the top with them. Every time one of our friends uses jargon from the list, we put a dollar in the jargon jar. And at the end of the season, we'll donate every dollar up to $50,000 to charity.
And we'll be asking you to tell us about what you are thankful for this holiday season.
Plus a word from UPS and a lot more.
I'm Alan.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a small or large business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 67. Hey, it's almost here, Alan.
What's that?
The big holiday selling moments.
Oh, you mean like Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Fat Tuesday?
Tuesday. I think it's the wrong month. Yeah, some of them, yes. But anyway, we're just a little over a week away.
Does that mean it's too late for sellers to do anything to prepare for and benefit from the big annual retail bounty that is holiday shopping?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because the answer is absolutely not. There's always time to make some changes, maybe stock up on a little extra supplies or even inventory. It's not too late in the season to do that. Anything that you can get out there and sell.
Yes, I like your spirit, Griff. Very can do.
Maybe a little bit of rub off on you. Shall we begin?
Let's start off, as we always do, with what's buzzing.
Okay, so what's the buzz for this week, Alan?
Well, we found a lot of interesting threads on our community boards, and I thought we'd highlight a few.
And remember, we'll include a link to each of the specific threads in this episode transcript at ebay.com/podcast, so you can get to them, read them, and maybe jump in.
Exactly. Okay, then. Let's start off with this one. It's titled, Angry Tree Day Weekend Customers, LOL.
LOL.
LOL. And the poster says,
yeah,
got a bunch of angry Saturday buyers. Might I add, these buyers purchased after 4 p.m. on Saturday. Today, they're asking me why I haven't shipped until Tuesday. So for context, this was for the weekend just before Veterans Day, a Monday holiday for USPS. The poster says his buyers have messaged him with the following. Hey, it's been 3 days. Why you not ship my item?
Why you not ship?
Why you not ship? I like that one.
Yeah, it's good.
And the next one is, I've been waiting since Saturday. The message was sent at 11:40 p.m. on Saturday. If the tracking doesn't show an update today, I want a refund. Why hasn't tracking updated? Am I getting this tomorrow?
Brother.
And the next one is, it's been 3 business days. Why haven't you shipped?
Oi. Okay, so I'm game. What were some of the responses?
As imagined, sellers had definite opinions on this topic. One seller posted, holy moly, a bit impatient. Were any of these foreign buyers?
Well, why you not ship my item? That answers that question.
I type like that sometimes. It's just shorthand.
Well, you're Irish, of course. Well, it's not the shorthand. It's the reverse syntax.
Why you
not ship by them?
Okay, another response said, I had a buyer get a little testy once when Monday was a holiday, so I sent her a screenshot of the post office's close date.
Screenshots. My passive-aggressive favorite fallback.
Yep. And then my favorite, because it shows such restraint, was this response. My listings are on a 2-day shipping clock. I had a sale on Saturday, 45 minutes after the post office had closed. About 2 hours later, the buyer messages and asks if I have shipped his item. The response was not easy to write, but I kept my cool and was nice.
I've learned the hard way. It's always best to keep your cool.
Yeah, yeah. Especially that poor seller. They got all those messages.
I mean, you're trying your best to do is the ship as fast as you can. And it's like, you didn't ship fast enough.
Why no ship?
Why no ship?
Give me ship.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the next bit of buzz, Alan? You like that Irish bit in there?
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, it's just like being at home.
Yeah.
Main reason eBay businesses fail.
That's the title?
That's the title.
I'm a little frightened of this, but go ahead.
Wait, this was a question. There was a question mark there.
Okay.
So the poster started with, what would you say are some of the main reasons eBay businesses fail? You can break them down into the top 10 if you want. I think this type of info can help people to learn what to avoid doing.
Okay, that's an interesting take on this evergreen topic. And I think I can imagine some of the responses.
I bet you can. Yes, indeed. A few responders, of course, blamed it all on eBay. But surprisingly, the clear majority of responses were definitely business-minded.
As opposed to victim-minded.
I suppose here are a few of the constructive responses posted for the thread, why businesses on eBay fail. One seller answered, one, poor inventory choice. Two, too high prices.
Wait, that's it? One and two? I like that.
I think we've got some more coming.
Yeah, but okay.
Did give it a little bit more info.
Yeah.
He said, you can have 10,000 things listed, but if they aren't things people want at prices those people are willing to pay, you aren't going to be getting sales.
Oh, that is so true. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have said it any better.
Another poster offered, many times people come here to sell because they think it's easy money. They don't invest their time in learning how to sell and just jump in and hope it all works out. They don't learn the rules or stay current on the rules that change or get added. This often leads to the seller getting frustrated and mad at eBay when it was within their control to learn the rules. If you are going to make a business of this, treat it like a J-O-B. Learn how to do it before jumping in too far. Then he posted a list of to-dos.
I love to-dos.
Ooh, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
There's a lot. Know your products.
Mm-hmm.
Learn the market for the products you want to sell.
Check.
Learn the price that the market will support.
Important.
Treat your customers with respect, even when they don't extend it to you.
Oh, yes, that's important.
Have resources available so you can get support shipping items out in the beginning, as eBay holds your money on new sellers or sellers return after a period of being inactive.
That's true, yeah.
Make sure you have a scale and all the shipping supplies you need for the items you plan to sell. Write complete and clear descriptions.
Perfect.
Take clear pics, multiple pics whenever it is something that gives the buyer more information. Your title is Prime Real Estate, so treat it with that in mind. Use your words you think buyers will be using in their searches. Try not to use words that do not matter. You will get all kinds of advice or replies to your posting, so make sure you have both eyes open and your mind as well.
I want to meet this seller. I want to shake this seller's hand.
I want to give them a hug.
I want to give them a medal.
I know, right? Yeah, fantastic. Another seller offered this bit of insight.
Yes.
Speaking generally and harshly, the main reason for failure for people is, number one, they give up too easily and never make a real effort. Got to get down and dirty. It's not all fun and games. And number two, it's because they get too comfortable and set in their ways and they refuse to change and adjust to the ever-changing market. Got to be willing to always change your business with the times or close shop.
There are so many smart sellers on this thread. I really like this.
I know. They must be listening to the podcast.
I should
hope
so.
That sounds like advice that we've been giving out over the last year.
Yeah, in a pinch, let's just take credit.
Hey, I'll take credit wherever we can get it, even if it's
self-appointed. You're a wise guy.
And though there are many other responses, my favorite was succinct and spot on in my view.
Mm-hmm.
He or she stated, number one, not treating it as a business.
And that's all she wrote.
That's it.
It's really
right
good.
Right to the point.
Okay, now you can read all the responses and maybe even jump into this conversation at community.ebay.com. Go to discussions and then go to the selling board. You'll find it, I guarantee it. And if you can't, you can always find the link in our transcript to this discussion. Well, what's our third community topic of interest this week, Alan?
All right.
Because we always do things in threes, right?
So, in threes, because you like when I say tree.
There you did.
Hey. Okay. Last one for this week is titled, What is it with the zero feedback bidder epidemic? And the OP, so that stands for original poster, by the way, had to say this, went on to say, I never remember things being this bad with zero feedback bidders. I've seen an overwhelming number of zero feedback bidders in my auctions lately. They fight each other to bid up the item, and then they consistently either do not pay or they do not pay on time. They are usually international bidders outside the US in either South American or African countries. What do you do as a seller to prevent this? Is there any selling format where I can require instant payment? I'm not a big seller, but I occasionally sell an item or two when I feel that eBay is the place for that.
Ah, boy, this is a common and understandable frustration. I think this could be a format issue. What did the other sellers provide in the way of advice? Never mind me.
Well, one seller said this. Use fixed prices, immediate payment required. Lots of zero feedback buyers show the site is growing with the potential of increased sales, possibly in response to all the commercials eBay has been airing. If everyone said they will not sell to a buyer until they have 10 positives, how would that buyer ever accomplish that? Because no one would sell to them.
Good point.
I know you mean well, but I wish people would stop telling auction sellers to switch to fixed price, immediate pay, when an option does not work for many of us who run true eBay auctions. And by true auctions, I mean where the buyers set the price, not the seller.
Well, and that person has a good point, but it's important to make the distinction. Not all items will benefit from the auction format. Mm-hmm. It has to be something that's rare and sought after, and it takes a little research to do that. But putting up used clothing with an auction format, probably not going to work.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, just had to interject there.
Thank you, Griff. And the best statement of the whole thread was this one. I once had zero feedback. Now I have thousands.
Every buyer on eBay starts with zero feedbacks. Why would any seller want to block a new buyer? Mm-hmm. He could have a lot of cash in his pocket to spend.
It's always best to assume good intentions, not bad. Ooh,
such a wise sage you become, Alan. Thanks for sharing the buzz from our community of sellers.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Griff. I'll be back next week with even more. In the meantime, why not join in on the conversation in our community? Have your say. Just visit community.ebay.com and jump in.
Thanks, Alan. Coming up next, an eBay seller shares some choice holiday selling, shipping, and packing tips. This month, we're all about shipping. We're all about getting it out the door as fast as possible. And joining us right now is Joey Ruffalo. He sells on eBay, and he also has his own podcast. And the podcast is Ecom 101. Joey, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Griff. Always great to be here.
I trust that you're going to have a lot of expert advice for our sellers on the topic of shipping and packing. But what's the most challenging item you've ever packed or shipped?
All right. It was a puzzle. Now, you're going to say puzzle. Wow, it's really easy, but... No, it was one of those 3D cityscape puzzles. It was about, I don't know, 3.5 feet long by like 2 feet wide by like a foot deep. It was ridiculous. And I made one of those rookie mistakes that we'll talk about where I bought the item, but I didn't have a box for it right away. And I eyed it up in a box I had and I was like, yes, this is going to work. And then when it came time to buy, it was a Friday. So I'm like, oh, good. I have until Monday to get it out. My wife is very adamant about getting it out on Saturday because, you know, that's how she rolls. So I'm like, okay, fine. I go down to get the box and it doesn't fit. I drove around trying to find a box place that would sell these big giant boxes. It just, none of them fit right. But what I ended up doing was taking my original box, cutting it open and reshaping it to make it fit the actual item. And it worked. It was too big on one side. So I was able to fold it and redo it to make it fit. But it was a lot of tape, a lot of effort, a lot of math. Right.
And it arrived safely, we trust.
It arrived safely with positive feedback in 2 days.
Joey, what does get it out the door mean to you?
Get it out the door means exactly that, man. Get it out the door. I mean, once that thing sells, I don't want it in my house anymore. I want it out of my inventory. I don't want to look at it. It's gone. But it also means getting it to the customer as fast as possible so they can enjoy it.
That's especially important during the holiday season when buyers want their items faster than ever.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to talk about packaging, specifically talking about packaging across that spectrum that we've talked about in the past, which is, yeah, I can pack this thing so that an armored tank can go over it and it's still going to be safe, but it's going to cost a fortune, as opposed to the other end of the spectrum. Oh, I can ship this really cheap and it's the bare minimum of packaging. Oh, it's risky. It could get damaged. And it's figuring out that balance. Mm-hmm. Is this something that you have to do with your selling on eBay on a regular basis? And if so, how do you calculate and what are the considerations and factors in determining what type of packaging, what type of service you're going to use?
Okay, so the first thing, I have two things that I do right off the bat. One is I have a philosophy and a rule of thumb when I'm shipping, and that is to ship things the way in which I want to receive them. Sort of the golden rule of packing. When I'm shipping something, I want to pretend that I'm the receiver. Will I be happy with the way that packaging looks if I received it in the mail? And a lot of times on the boards and in the communities you'll read, other sellers will buy things from people and they'll complain about the way they received an item because the other person didn't take the care to pack it correctly. So they're upset. Yeah, the item got there fine. The item wasn't damaged or anything, but just the presentation. That's where we have that first impression with the customer, essentially, right? They're looking at your item online. They're looking at the price and description and your pictures, but they're not physically touching or holding that item in their hand yet. So when that package arrives in the mail, that's that chance for you to make that first impression with them. And I got to say, if it looks bad, probably not going to buy from you again because it's a reflection on you, essentially.
Yeah.
If it looks great, you probably got a customer for life because even if it's a small little plastic mug and you pack it like it's the Mona Lisa, it goes a long way.
The golden rule, pack onto others as you would have them pack onto you.
I like yours. Yeah. The other thing, Griff, is when you are listing the item, make sure you have all the relevant packing materials with you when you're weighing that item out. I've seen too many people who just weigh the item and then forget to weigh the packaging and then realize they have to pack it with extra bubble wrap or extra packing paper. And then that might push something from a first class package to a priority weight. And that's going to cost you money in the long run. So essentially weigh it with that first. If it's a priority weight because of the packing, factor that into your cost. Either if you're doing free shipping, factor that into your price. If you're doing discounted shipping or flat rate, you know, factor that into everything. If the customer is paying for it, then factor that in when they are giving you best offers or negotiating back and forth that extra, because you're spending the extra money to get it to them on time or to pack it right. If you don't want to pass it along to the customer, then factor all that into your original pricing and your cost and stuff.
Do you do anything different for your customer service this time of year?
Well, I mean, we do get a little bit more requests during the holiday, right? Ship it to a different address, or can you ship it here? Sometimes maybe can you gift wrap this because it's a gift? Those are things we'll take into consideration when we are shipping things out. It does get a little busier around the holidays, obviously, because there's a lot more orders. But we try to keep our same business practices throughout the year. For example, if an order sells on Friday, yeah, with one day handling time, we technically can get it out on Monday and still be okay. But we like to get it out on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Even though we don't have next day built into our shipping, we get it out next day. Or even same day sometimes. If it's sold Friday morning, it's probably out the door Friday afternoon rather than waiting.
So under promise and over deliver.
Exactly. I'll share this story. It was a special request. It was last year. We had these little plush dolls online. I don't even remember the characters, but we had two of them and we decided to group them together. And we had a lady contact us. It was about a week before Christmas. And she was so excited because they had just moved cross country. Her daughter was six. And somewhere in the move, she lost her favorite stuffed animals. And these were the exact two stuffed animals that she had lost. And she was amazed that we had them and they were together. We gave her a great deal and she wanted us to ship them to where they were going for Christmas. And she actually paid for like expedited shipping so they'd get there in time. It's like, yeah, no problem. We'll do whatever you need us to do. We took care of it. And just for a little added extra bonus, I printed out a letter on Santa stationery. I typed a little letter up from Santa and I signed it to her. I said, hey, we found these at the North Pole. Glad we can give them back to you. Have Merry Christmas. And I, you know, signed it from Santa Claus and sent it off. And the emails and the praise and the notifications we got after that was just amazing. So
that was probably the best gift that child has ever received.
Probably. It still makes me feel good to this day.
This is a busy time of year and a lot of sellers are listening. So what would you say to a seller who's just maybe getting started or is looking to improve their business during the holidays?
So the first thing I would do is, again, make sure you have the packing material, the box, everything you have while you're listing the item. This way you can factor in the correct weight, size, and dimensions of the item so you get an accurate shipping cost. Once you do that, pack the item and put it in the box and put that in your inventory location. Don't change it out, because if you put it in a different box later on, you're going to be screwing around with the weights and the dimensions, and that's going to factor into your shipping cost. As a new seller, don't be afraid to charge for shipping. Honestly, in our store, we have very few items that are free shipping, but we have lower cost items. So we lower our item price down and charge shipping. I mean, that's just a business policy or plan that you can decide for yourself. If you charge free shipping, make sure your price points are good on your item so that it factors into the cost of the shipping price. Get it out on time. If you say one day handling, get it out in one day. If you say 2 day handling, get it out in 2 days. Don't wait to get stuff out the door. Get it out as fast as possible. And lastly, like I said earlier, ship things the way in which you wish to receive them. That's your first impression with your customer. If they open up a vintage baseball hat that's flat brimmed and new with tags, and it's in maybe a Ziploc bag and a poly envelope, and there's a chance it could have got crushed during shipping, not saying it did or wouldn't, it's a little different than getting it in a box with peanuts around it and it looks nice. That's just my opinion on that.
As a buyer of hats, I love when my hats come in a nice package as opposed to just thrown into a poly envelope.
You know, and I've seen it work that way in a poly envelope. But to me, it's adding risk to the equation, and I'd rather not take the risk.
The money you think you're saving, you'll end up spending anyway with having to take the shipment back and having to replace the inventory. It can be a nightmare.
Exactly. And again, look for different demonstrations online. If you're not sure how to pack things or ship things, there's definitely some demo videos out there. I actually did one myself on packing a mug where I wrapped it in bubble wrap, and then I put it in they call it a Scotty box. So it's an internal box that goes inside a padded flat rate envelope. Mm-hmm. And then I dropped it off a 20-foot building.
You're kidding. Yeah.
No, 20-foot building. I opened it up. It didn't crack. I retaped it up using the same tape, so it was kind of compromised. And then I threw it up in the air, and I smashed it with a softball bat about 30 feet in the air. And you'll have to watch the video to find out if it broke
or not. Well, where do we go? You've left us on a cliff. Where do we go to see the video?
That's on my YouTube channel that I do with Robin, Econ 101 podcast on YouTube, and it's called Softball Bat versus Mug Challenge, Shipping eBay Breakables.
So check them out on YouTube. That's Econ 101. And your business is JR Financial Coaching.
Correct.
How do people find you if they want some financial coaching?
I'm everywhere at jrfinancialcoaching.com, JR Financial Coach on Instagram and Facebook, JR Financial Coaching. Find me and send me an email, a direct message, and let me know how I can help you.
Thanks so much, Joey. This has been a pleasure, and happy holidays and great success for you during the season.
Thank you, Griff.
We've been speaking with Joey Ruffalo. He sells on eBay. He has his own financial coaching business, as you heard, JR Financial Coaching. And he and Robin Yednock-Haas have YouTube podcast channel at Econ 101. And go check it out. They're both a riot. And you can learn something, too. We've been talking this month about how you can up your game when it comes to things like shipping and to some extent even packing. But you know, another important tool in that kit is your return strategy, specifically how you handle requests from your customers who, for whatever reason, want to return an item. I'm now joined in our studio here by Cindy Acknin. Cindy, welcome. Before we start, could you tell us a little bit more about your role here at eBay?
Thanks, Griff, for having me. I am on the trust team here at eBay, and I manage the returns experience for all of our members, buyers and sellers alike.
Why is having a return policy so important in today's marketplace universe, especially during the holiday season?
Well, I don't think it's a surprise that to be competitive, you have to offer a return policy. You see it across the marketplace today. And 80% of our shoppers expect some type of return policy, especially free returns. Almost 60% of those expect at least a 30-day return window. And that will generate repeat customers. 89% of them who have a good return experience are likely to come back again.
And that's from our own data, correct?
That's from our own data. And you will probably find the same external studies across the internet.
Can you share a little bit more, provide a little bit more maybe insight into what we see on our side when it comes to sellers who offer returns compared to those who don't? I mean, do they fare better? Do they have lower return rates? Do they tend to have better sales?
The sellers who offer returns oftentimes have more sales because of an increase in conversion. Like I mentioned before, buyers are expecting a return policy when they buy online. So they'll often look for sellers that have a return policy.
If it's a buyer expectation and they're offered choices, does that mean that they're more than likely to, given the same item and the same price range, go with the seller who's going to have a more customer-focused return policy?
That's exactly right. They will choose the seller that offers a return policy and accepts returns.
What are some of the considerations a seller should keep in mind regarding customer behavior and their return policy?
According to what we're seeing, our sellers see an increase in conversion by up to 25% when they offer free returns. What's great about that is listings with free returns are usually highlighted within search, on our item pages, and even in marketing. And sellers that offer free returns will also receive top-rated plus benefits. So what I would suggest to sellers is they offer free 30 or 60-day returns. And don't forget to check your good till cancel listings too and make sure those return policies are also up to date.
Yeah.
And then you might also think about offering replacements and exchanges.
You know, a good return policy offers buyers the option of returning an item. Okay, that's the basic, right? But many sellers, they'll accept returns kind of reluctantly, but only if the buyer pays return shipping or they make the buyer jump through hoops. Is this a good practice?
Not so much. What we recommend is sellers offering to pay for the return shipping, which is, in other words, saying it's free returns for the buyer.
Right.
I mean, as we mentioned before, that's what's going to help with conversion. That's also going to drive repeat customers and just ultimately giving the buyer a great shopping experience.
A lot of sellers, they focus in on the one transaction. They're making sales, hopefully every day. At the end of the year, they have a whole year's worth of sales. But when a buyer makes a return, they start factoring in, how much am I going to lose on this?
Mm-hmm.
And then that starts to drive their behavior about how they're going to treat this experience. Should a seller focus so much on just that single transaction?
No, I think they should look at the overall picture.
And at the end of the year, they could just write these. If there's a loss on a single transaction, they can write it off.
Exactly.
I can tell you from my own experience, my return costs for accepting returns and paying for return shipping are minimal against my profit margins, and I'm great. More than easily absorbed.
Perfect.
Yeah. And I'm not a big seller. I'm a small seller. Should a seller ask someone who wants to return an item a lot of questions beforehand? So, for example, before they agree to the return, they start asking, why are you returning an item? And, well, I want proof, and send me photos. Is this a good practice?
No. I mean, what we usually see is that just adds a lot of friction to the buyers and will also risk them no longer coming to the site or buying with that seller again. Because it goes back to what we were saying earlier about just making sure the end-to-end buying experience is as seamless and enjoyable as possible. So we recommend to sellers, you know, to accept the return as soon as possible and take care of the buyer.
Right.
And once the returned item is delivered, provide the refund within 2 business days after that. And that way the buyer will be happy and will realize that they've been taken care of and will come back and shop.
So all my returns are set to accept the return automatically.
Awesome.
And I've had sellers question me on this, saying, you don't want to talk to the buyer beforehand? And I always say, why? For whatever reason, they've gone to the site to make a return. Mm-hmm. They're not happy. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to negotiate unhappiness with them.
That's right. And then when you negotiate, that would seem to take a lot more effort than just accepting the return and then providing the refund.
Now, there's a question that comes up all the time with sellers. And I've had it actually happen to me twice. One not so seriously, but one really seriously about 10 years ago. So what should a seller do if a buyer abuses the return process by returning an item in condition that's obviously worse than what it was sent? So, for example, one we hear all the time is new clothing, like a new dress with tags, and it comes back soiled and its tags are missing.
Right.
Or worse, they send back something that's different from what the seller sent. What should a seller do in a case like that?
If the seller offered a free 30-day return policy on that dress example that you provided, they have the ability to keep a portion of that refund because that item was returned in a different condition. We have guidelines on the site that kind of describe, hey, if it's a piece of clothing and it was returned back to you worn, maybe you need to keep a portion of that cost to have it dry, cleaned, or repaired.
How much can they keep? What's the maximum that they can take off the
maximum that you can take for a partial refund is up to 50%.
Oh, that's pretty steep.
You know, so it's a kind of a case-by-case basis. A dress, I feel, could be reworn and resold, so it may not be worth keeping 50%, but a portion of that. So it goes back to saying, hey, if you have this really competitive free return policy, then you'll be able to utilize this additional benefit of a partial refund.
And in cases like that, does eBay make a note that the seller had to issue a less than full refund because the buyer had used the item and returned it in condition not as received initially? Is that kept on the buyer's record? And if so, and where I'm going with this is if there's a pattern, does eBay actually take that into account when dealing with that buyer in the future?
What we recommend to sellers is actually reporting buyers if they've received an item back in the wrong condition or if they received a completely different item than what they had originally sent to that buyer.
Yeah.
And what that helps us do is keep track of any potential abusive buying behavior patterns to protect our sellers.
Now, a lot of sellers want to know what we do, and we never really get into detail about what we do with individual members. But I know we've talked in the past that if a buyer shows excessive return behavior of this type, that we start to limit their ability to request returns.
That's right. So if we continue seeing bad buyer behavior, there's a consequence path that we will put that buyer through where it may eventually stop them from opening a return at all. And then, there may be even be a possibility of suspending them completely from the site.
Right, depending on the severity or the type of reports.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we've covered it all, Griff. As long as sellers update their listings, including the good till canceled listings, with our most current return policies, they'll be in great shape for the holiday. And this is a good time to kind of re-review their inventory because coming in March of next year, we'll be updating any listings that have an outdated or unsupported return policies on their behalf.
If they have the old duration of 14 days, that'll be updated to 30 days. Cindy, is there a page on eBay where we can send sellers where they can learn more about, for example, the categories that are exempt in that specific instance, but more about returns in general?
Yeah, a great starting point would be ebay.com/returns, and that should get them to what they need.
Cindy, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks, Griff, for having me.
Cindy Acknon is with the trust team and works directly with the folks that create our return product and our policies.
This month, it's all about shipping. It's all about getting out the door fast. It's about making sure you're pleasing your customers with the way you pack, how much you charge for shipping, how fast you get it to them. And a lot of this depends on you. But of course, some of it depends on the carrier. With us now is Heather Bazell. She's the Director of Retail Channel Marketing at UPS. Welcome, Heather.
Hi there.
Heather, why should an eBay seller consider using UPS?
I think some of the reasons why eBay sellers should use UPS is really the service that we provide them, specifically having options that are really designed for eBay customers and eBay sellers. With our services, you can save time and money. You have solutions that bring your order details, customer information, and all of your customer information in one place that allow for shipment tracking to occur in a cohesive way.
What are some of the benefits that make UPS stand out?
Well, our shipping, tracking, and billing technologies are certainly effective tools to help streamline operations for small businesses. We provide an array of solutions that allow any size of goods to transport, including moving shipments by ground, air, or even by ocean if necessary, to serve a variety of different weights. We have a variety of different pickup options, whether a customer needs to have shipments picked up daily, weekly, or really upon request. So we provide a lot of flexibility to small businesses, and particularly to those that are in using marketplaces like eBay.
There are some limitations that are imposed by other service carriers. And one of the things I'm thinking about are weight and size. So if I have a particularly heavy or big item, I'm not going to be able to ship it by my more common carrier. Is this something that UPS fills the gap for?
UPS has weight restrictions on certain types of packages. However, because we have such a large network, it provides services from mail, in some cases through our Mail Innovations unit, to larger shipments that include freight. We provide customers with a variety of options to meet their needs and provide the accessories to go with that to ensure that a variety of shipping needs are being met.
One of those accessories, I'm assuming, are packing supplies. Does UPS provide their own packing supplies?
Yeah, well, UPS does provide packaging supplies to help our small businesses, and they can be ordered off of UPS.com. Those supplies include packaging such as envelopes for express shipments, forms, labels and stickers, as well as pouches to make shipping convenient and easy for small businesses, all of which can be ordered by logging into UPS.com.
How does UPS pickup work?
UPS has a variety of pickup options. Some of the best options we offer not only save customers money and time, but they also help the environment. For example, our UPS Smart Pickup service provides customers with the ability to receive pickups only when they have a shipment that's needed. And we provide that at a low flat weekly rate. And that allows customers to not only save time, money, but also help the environment.
Most sellers know they're going to be shipping every day. So that's a way of covering themselves into the future for pickups.
That's right. We offer a variety. We offer the scheduled pickup that you can receive every day. We offer day-specific pickups when you know you have shipping occur on a specific day of a week when you're doing all your consolidation. We even offer Saturday pickups in certain areas where it's necessary for you to get ahead on the week and the work involved.
As a seller, can I do this all online, or do I have to call or show up at a UPS center?
No, you can schedule pickups on UPS.com by going to your profile and taking a look at making changes to your account settings that allow for you to sign up for pickups and to select the pickup time that's most convenient for you as well.
Now, most eBay sellers want to get a package quickly to their buyers, fast as possible, but they want to do so at the least amount of cost to their business, especially if they're offering free shipping, which a lot of eBay sellers do. What kind of services does UPS provide to help provide sellers those options when they're considering cost against speed?
Well, the good thing about UPS is you're going to have a variety of options that's provided. We offer not only ground delivery, but we also offer a variety of overnight services depending on the time of day that you would like to have your package delivered. And the good thing for eBay sellers in particular is that we offer a special rate that allows those customers to receive discounts up to 45% off on our ground shipments and up to 55% off of UPS second day air on eligible packages.
Are those discounts available to anyone who has an account with UPS?
They're available to customers that have an eBay account with UPS.
Oh, an eBay account. Okay.
That's Right. That's right. These reduced marketplace rates really were designed to help e-commerce merchants and small businesses. And it's intended to really provide a simple and cost-efficient way for businesses that are selling in places like eBay with the most efficient rate available.
Does UPS also provide any insurance options for sellers who may have a high-value item or an item that may be breakable or fragile or whatever? They just want the peace of mind by purchasing insurance, which they can do with other carriers. Can they do this with UPS?
Yeah, shipping insurance is really a necessary option, particularly if you're sending valuables or if the cost is a concern to the shipper. But even if costs are minimal, there is a no-cost insurance that UPS provides that can help with replacing an item in the event of a lost or damaged package. We offer insurance for in-transit goods through our licensed affiliate, UPS Capital, and it automatically covers most packages up to $100 for both domestic and international movements. We also provide declared value coverage for an additional fee for packages that exceed that amount. And if there's some specific need that any customer has, we offer through our UPS Capital organization insurance that can help really customize a policy that can be affordable for small businesses that allow for them to receive rates that are most appropriate for them.
Do they offer anything else for small businesses, for example, in the way of instructions, tutorials, guidance to help the small business owner who may not be aware of specific shipping considerations that can help benefit their business?
UPS.com has a variety of information that's available for various different industry types. There's tutorials on how to use our shipping platforms, as well as information on the best way to package shipments should packaging questions arise. We help provide instructions on the best way to package materials of odd type and provide instructions and best ways to meet the needs of customers.
We see them in every town, UPS stores. What are they and how do they work? And are they a resource for eBay sellers?
Yeah, UPS stores are a really great resource for small businesses, soup to nuts. They provide full service packaging, shipping, labeling, and a variety of different services that allow for small businesses to be successful. We find that their certified packaging experts allow them to advise small businesses on the best way to pack and ship their item, and they're just really convenient. The certified packaging experts of the UPS store allow for a small business to ship their item via UPS, and if the item is ever damaged or lost, they're going to get reimbursed for the item's value, as well as the full retail price of packaging the materials and services, plus those shipping charges.
Heather, is there anything about UPS that we may not have covered that you would like to add?
Sure. I think that maybe it's important for small businesses to know that UPS started out as a small business. You know, we were founded over 100 years ago by two people with $100 located in Seattle, Washington. We have empathy for small businesses and understand where they're coming from. And we recognize that in some cases, conducting business internationally can be intimidating. UPS has been delivering packages around the world more so than any other carrier. UPS is the only carrier who offers guaranteed small package ground service between Mexico and the contiguous 48 states. We have a variety of shipping options internationally that provide service as early as 8:30 in the morning, 9:30, 11 o'clock, 10:30, noon, 2 o'clock, depending on whatever time you're looking for, to 57 countries and deliver to over 220 territories across the world. So if you're really looking for expanding your business outside the U.S., and are a bit intimidated by that process, UPS has a variety of shipping options and resources to be able to help businesses that are in those places.
Heather, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Heather Bazell. She's the Director of Retail Channel Marketing at UPS. You can learn more about UPS and what they have to offer you as a small business on eBay at their website, ups.com.
Today, we're welcoming Sam Bright back to the podcast. Sam is Vice President of Verticals at eBay, and that covers everything, all categories of all goods on eBay. Hi, Sam. Great to have you back.
Thank you. Great to be here.
We've invited you here to talk about the holiday jargon jar. Can you tell us what this is?
Yeah. So everybody has their own favorite holiday slogan or jargon that they see over and over in commercial efforts. And so for us, it's our way of turning all the holiday chatter into charity. It's the time of year when big brands, ourselves included sometimes, tend to overindulge in holiday speak. It's like a whole different language. And we see words like tis and jolly and ho, ho, ho on every commercial sign and park bench. So we decided to have some fun with it.
Oh, really? Tell us.
Yeah. So we created a list of the 100 most overused holiday words, then turned to Twitter to spot when big brands are going over the top with them. Every time one of our friends uses jargon from the list, we put a dollar in the jargon jar. And at the end of the season, we'll donate every dollar up to $50,000 to charity. Already, we've got $8,000 collected.
Wow, that's a lot of quarters.
It's a lot of quarters, or a lot of eggnog, depending on how you look at it.
So this is a take on the old swear jar.
Exactly.
Say a naughty word, you got to put a quarter in the jar.
Yeah, except say an overused holiday word, you got to put a dollar in the jar. And it's our way of, you know, getting everybody involved. If someone sees, you know, a particularly garish Christmas tree display at their supermarket, they can just post a photo on Twitter tagging @holidayjargon. And we'll put another dollar in the jar to be donated.
Wow, this sounds like a lot of fun. So what's the charity we're supporting with the funds from the Holiday Jargon Jar?
So we decided to partner with SCORE. It's an organization that supports entrepreneurs and small businesses across the nation. They have 11,000 volunteer business experts that provide free small business mentoring sessions, workshops, and educational services to clients in 300 chapters nationwide. In 2018 alone, SCORE volunteers helped to create over 32,000 new businesses and 103,000 non-owner jobs. And so at the end of this season, all the money up to that 50K will be donated to SCORE. And it's really kind of a fun way for us to take the overused holiday words this season and invest back in small businesses while having a little bit of fun with it.
And those businesses could be on eBay.
They could be.
So talk about the virtuous cycle.
That's right. It sounds like a flywheel to me.
All right. I'm interested. How do we get sellers involved in this?
Well, so any seller can start by following along on Twitter @holidayjargon and tagging only big box retailers they see that are a little too jolly, let's say, with their holiday marketing.
Could they tag something that they found on eBay?
Yes, they could.
Okay, so if we overplay, we have to pay too.
Yes, if it's something in our eBay marketing where we're a little too jolly, by all means, it's going to a good cause to support small businesses like them.
I can't wait. I'm actually going to try this. And while we got you here, Sam, I wanted to ask you on behalf of our sellers, how is eBay thinking about holiday in general this year? Jargon Jar is a great example of what we can do with our fun brand, but what might other sellers notice that's different this year?
I think what you'll notice is that eBay celebrates the uniqueness of its seller community and the uniqueness of the inventory that nobody else can find anywhere else except for on our platform. That's what makes us who we are as a company. And so you probably saw that back in September, like we announced our commitment to the holiday chill, quote unquote, meaning that we wouldn't bombard our community with holiday-themed advertising or deals until November, because everyone's been moving the season up sooner and sooner.
Yeah, this year to April.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't take your Christmas tree down at all.
Just leave it up all year.
And while November's fast approaching, it's our plan to stay true to that commitment all season long. So you may notice that eBay is consciously taking a step back from the frenzy this year to focus on helping our sellers continue to deliver great deals every day, great value, unique items, not just during the holidays. And so there are multiple ways we partner with our sellers, but just continue to have an eye out for that and how we go to market. We love this time of year, just like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the most wonderful time of the year, regardless of which holiday you're celebrating.
Wait a minute. I have to put a quarter in the jar. You just said most wonderful time of the year.
That's true. I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
Let's see how many dollars I rack up for a score before we're through.
It's a lot healthier than taking a drink every time.
That's true, especially with eggnog. We want to be a destination for shoppers looking to escape the madness that comes with early bird and marathon deals.
And door busters. And
all of that, which I think you need to put another dollar in the jar.
Darn. I have to get a jar and actually make the dollar. I'll add it in. All of our eBay employee guests that are on this month, we're asking for their three top tips that they would give sellers this holiday. And what do you think is the best advice you can offer in your role as vice president of verticals?
Yeah. So number one, know your customers. Know when they're paying attention and how to tailor your store to when there's going to be the highest visibility or interest from them. I think the second is really leaning into the unique inventory that you have. Like, what are the things that, whether someone is purchasing it for their own passion or own utility reason, or they're purchasing it for a loved one or a friend, what is the right mix of inventory that needs to be brought to bear that will likely drive conversion. And then the third, you know, I think more so than other times of the year, it's really making sure that all of our I's are dotted and T's are crossed around shipping. Like, what are the right windows in terms of delivery that we're promising? When are we actually able to meet those windows given all of the additional interest and the positives that come from the order stockpiling? That's going to be a big determining factor for a lot of consumers who are trying to make sure that the gifts that they purchase actually arrive in time. And so just building in the right lead time and I think arranging the store to highlight that is what's going to be really important in driving conversion.
Great advice, Sam. Thanks again for stopping by. And by the way, I'll get my quarter ready. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Two until quarters.
That's right. $2.
$2, right. We're not talking quarters. That's old school.
That's right.
But dollars don't make a real sound when you drop them in a jar. So we'll say 8 quarters.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Appreciate you coming into talking with us today.
Thank you for having me. Always happy to come and chat with sellers.
We've been speaking with Sam Bright. He's the Vice President of Verticals here at eBay. And that's our show for this week. Say, before we jump into the boilerplate, we have a request for you.
That's right. It's just a few days until Thanksgiving, and we thought it would be great to ask you what you are thankful for this year. It could be just about anything. No matter, we want to hear it.
If you have something for which you are especially thankful for during this holiday season of thanks.
Ah, Thanksgiving. I get it.
A little slow on the uptake there, Alan, but better late than never.
Thank you.
Why not share it with your fellow podcast subscribers? Just call us at 888-723-4630 and leave a message about the person or thing or whatever for which you are most thankful this year.
And we'll put the best ones on the air next week.
That's right. So bring out your thanks. Maybe you're going to want to write them down and then call us at 888-723-4630 to leave that Thanksgiving holiday message on our voicemail. And again, you can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week.
And we also have our very own special dedicated email address where you can send your questions to us if you prefer. It's podcast@ebay.com. That is podcast@ebay.com. And after last week's embarrassing impersonation, I think you should just jump straight to the core message on the meetups, Griff.
It was that bad?
You should read some of the email reviews. They were not kind, to say the least.
Oh, well, critics. What do they know?
A lot.
Well, okay. Oops, no. I almost slipped into it. Sorry. I'll do it in my regular voice then.
Fantastic.
If that's what the audience wants.
That's what everyone wants.
All right. Why not attend a local eBay seller meetup in your area? At seller meetup, seller share tips, selling stories.
Right, you didn't have to go to the extreme.
Learnings, insights, and even a little gossip / kvetches. That's what it says in the script. You can see upcoming meetups on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups. Yes, 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 yes.
I'm sorry, sellers. I'm sorry, listeners. You have to put up with this. One day he'll learn. He'll just stick to the script and no messing around.
Yeah, I'll be dead by then.
And don't forget, you can tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific. Go to facebook.com/ebayforbusiness.
You can see Audrey.
You can see Audrey and her lovely earrings.
That's right.
Yeah, every week a new pair. And right after the live stream, make sure you hop on over to the eBay community for our weekly community chat. That starts Wednesdays at 1 o'clock Pacific. Go to ebay.com/community chat and we will see you there.
The eBay for Business podcast is brought to you by the head of community, Brian Berg.
The most special correspondent, Jen Deal.
Associate Executive Segment Producer in Temecula, Doug Smith.
Marketing strategist, Elizabeth Austin.
And my esteemed co-host, Alan Aisbit.
Thank you, Editor-in-Chief and Griff. Griff.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.
Okay.
So
we're done.
Don't forget to send us your Thanksgiving messages.
Oh, yeah. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. So yes, we're thankful for you.
You and your car.
Yeah.
We see you. Thank you.
Yeah. Don't text and drive.